Good morning, Rich. This is Julie speaking.
And this is Emma. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. It's wonderful to have you both on with us. I absolutely love the show, and it's such a great concept. Julie, was it an easy decision to reunite with the Jim Henson Company, given your history not only with them, but back to the beginning of your performing career working with puppets?
Yes. Well, we've long been friends, known each other for years. And it was so easy and, full of joy, really. They're very, very nice people. And that lovely meeting of the minds in terms of making it a educational program as well as entertainment was just exactly what I'd always hoped to do.
Emma, your target is obviously the preschool audience, but was it also important for you as producers to make sure that this is also a program that will appeal to the parents?
Absolutely. We think of it as a family audience show, hopefully, one in which no matter what age family member you are, from grandparent to parent to child, from older sibling to youngest sibling, you might find some value and some fun. We've always admired books and television and radio and theater shows that have something that is of value for the grown-ups as well as for the kids.
A sort of double sense of humor, in a
that's
way.
That's right, yeah.
Think of Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore.
Or Sesame Street.
If you read it as a grown-up, you think about, you get some humor that...
On a different level.
On a different level, and yet it's wonderfully readable and entertaining for children.
The Greenies are so terrific. I love all of them, although a particular fondness for Perry, the poor prima donna who doesn't get the role she wants.
That's funny, Bruce.
I also lean toward...
I'm fond of them all. It's really hard to say which one I love the best. I mean, I'm a little partial to the duck, I must say, because it's such a silly fantasy, and yet it works because the theater never discriminates, you see.
That's right, and I understand...
We try hard to be inclusive with the creation of all the characters and be as diverse as possible, so there's a little bit of everyone represented there.
Well, and you've certainly done that with Riley, who is the first non-binary character in a preschool television show.
Yes, that we're very proud of that, actually.
And Hank, who never really, his handicap is never really, it is talked about, but
it doesn't get in his way. Hank is in a wheelchair.
It doesn't get in the way. It doesn't prevent him from having a good time.
And you two both had quite a bit of input into the creation of those Henson characters.
We did. We were very fortunate to be part of the process from the get-go. We together with Henson, we reviewed millions of different possible designs and concepts for the puppets themselves, and then very instantly knew when the designs by Alana Allen, who is a wonderful illustrator who created the original sketches for the puppets, we knew that they were the ones. And then we went through this extraordinary process of reviewing. We would get these incredible packages in the mail from the Creature Shop, which is the Henson factory in Queens, and they would have foam samples for skin tones and hair samples for hair and fabric swatches and all manner of choices to be made and decisions about hem length and shoe style and so forth. And eyes.
And colors, of course, yeah.
So it was a fascinating process. It really was. And then once they came to life and we saw them in three dimensions, that was a really
and
exciting
then, of course,
moment.
They are amazingly operated by these brilliant, talented puppeteers who are unsung heroes. They really are because they're never seen. These wonderful people who manipulate the puppets, but who make the characters come alive. I'm not even aware that the puppeteers are manipulating them. I mean,
you just see the kids.
To me,
right?
It's so real.
Yeah.
We're talking with Julie Andrews and Emma Walton Hamilton. Julie's Green Room airing right now on Netflix. And in putting this show together, too, the landscape of television has changed. Was it important to meet kids and their families where they are in this on-demand world where they want to watch programs anytime they can?
Well,
it's the world in that respect, that's for sure.
And we were so fortunate to have Netflix come on board because that is, where so many people are going now for their entertainment, for their streaming entertainment. And happily, being there affords us the opportunity to make the show available for repeat viewing, all at once. You can sit down and watch all 13 episodes in a row or go back and revisit your favorites. You don't have to wait until next week for the next installment or you know, be interrupted by commercials and so forth. And that's a real boon as far as we're concerned.
Along with the Greenies, you found a wonderfully talented young man to play the role of Gus.
We sort of just, it just automatically happened. I'm so sorry, I was interrupting you. Say that again.
No, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the terrific young man who plays Gus.
Yes. Isn't he talented and
yes.
lovely? And we would, you know, he's a real contributor and so talented.
His name is Julian Joiello, and he was almost fresh out of NYU when he came to audition for us, and we fell in love with him in an instant. He brought his guitar.
A lot of young children are doing the same thing
yeah.
now.
When you start to talk about the talent involved in the program, you've brought together a tremendous list of guest stars as well. Alec Baldwin, Sarah Bareilles, David Hyde Pierce, and a personal favorite, Carol Burnett.
Well, she's a great chum. She happens to be Emma's godmother, believe it or not. And we've known each other for so many years, and it was just a joy when the day that she was on the set, or days that she was on the set.
We were so fortunate to have such wonderful people. I mean, the idea is that these are, they play themselves, all of these actors, except for Carol Burnett, who plays a wonderful benefactor of the theater. But they come to help teach these master classes in the various elements of the arts. So Alec Baldwin is there to teach acting to our Greenies, or Sarah Bareilles is there to teach songwriting to our Greenies. And I mean, how lucky are we to have had such extraordinary masters of their craft come to teach their lessons?
I think it's because they, too, are all passionate about the arts and preserving them and presenting them to you know, the wonder of them to children.
Well, as someone who directs high school theater, I love the behind-the-scenes look at shows, even the teaching that goes on about stage direction and so much else. But my goodness, the timing could not have been more appropriate for your play within the show that speaks to the dangers of not funding the arts and the potential loss.
The arts being stolen. Complete serendipity in that case.
Of course, we wrote that episode long before. We were writing the shows last winter and spring, and so it was long before the election. And, you know, who knew that it would be so timely and we're...
And necessary.
Yeah. But we are very outspoken advocates for saving funding for the arts and for the NEA and so forth. And so we're happy to be doing our part.
Let me ask you as well. I mentioned to you, Emma, I found this pretty interesting. We also have a friend in common that I didn't know. A gentleman I had the pleasure of working with in a play up here in Maine a number of years ago, Matthew Conlon.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, he's a wonderful old friend. We studied together back when I was an actor at HB Studio. We studied under the tutelage of Herbert Berghoff and Uta Hagen together. We've known each other for years.
Now, you and your mother have collaborated on so many books through the years. Will there be any more in the Very Fairy Princess series?
Well, from your lips to our readers' and publishers' ears, we've written 30-something books together now, and we love to write for children.
That series has been a joy.
Yeah, we love that series so much. We would certainly love to write more.
It's another form of the arts, really. It's, you know, the wonderful illustrations in the books, and they are productions of their own, really, when you consider who designs them, what kind of paper is used, the print, and so on, and the content, obviously.
Julie, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up some of your other work along the way. And like every kid in the world, I grew up watching Mary Poppins and Sound of Music. But I wanted to ask you about another absolute favorite of mine that I happened to catch again on cable recently. You worked so well with James Garner through the years. The Americanization of Emily is such a terrific film.
Yeah, thank you. Well, of course, it was written by Paddy Chayefsky, who, you know, the script was such a easy one. I mean, his writing was so superb, and I loved that film, and James did too. We both say it's one of our favorite films to have made.
We were just watching it together recently ourselves again, because we're collaborating on Mom's second installment of her memoirs, and so we were studying it and talking about
remembering
her memories and so
moments,
forth.
Yeah. Where I was when we shot it and what was going on. And James is my husband, Blake, who no slouch himself, since he, you know, was such a superb director and filmmaker, he said, "Watch James. He's not only a great actor, he's one of the best reactors." And in things like Victor Victoria, for instance, it's just great to see his take on Victoria and whether is she male or female and so on.
The only thing we're missing here this morning would be some white grape juice and mini scones, I think.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, we're munching them as we speak.
Aha. Wonderful. Well, I wanted to ask you...
That is the snack of choice in Julie's Green Room.
Well, yes,
well,
indeed.
White grape juice, because it doesn't stay in the coffee quite as much.
The first season is out there and available for all to see. I love it. My three-year-old son absolutely loves it as well. Will there be a second season?
Well, fingers crossed. We are
from your lips to everyone's ears. We're waiting to hear. We're hoping that we will, because, of course, we've only just scratched the surface in terms of the arts and what we can bring to children in that respect. And there are a host of ideas and thoughts. So I do hope it will continue, but we'll see.
I want to ask you both, because you both spent a lifetime in the arts in a number of roles. From your perspective, at a time when the arts are threatened in many ways with funding and more, what's the most rewarding thing about spending a life working in the arts?
Oh, that's the multi-million dollar question. If you had about 3 hours, I might be able to touch on it. The most rewarding thing, I think, is... Well, one learns so much through the years. The more you do, the more you begin to realize what it is you do and what it can do for audiences. For me, ultimately, it was the realization that I could, for, let's say I'm doing a musical on Broadway or something, for the 3 hours that the audience is there, you can help them have the best evening. You can help them forget that the taxes are due, or that Johnny has a bad cough at home or whatever, and just transport them for 3 hours. And to give that gift, it's an honor and a joy. And it is the giving, it seems to me, that I've come to realize that for me is the great pleasure. And I am unbelievably lucky in that respect to have been asked to do these things.
I would echo that and just say that, you know, a lovely example of that is I ran a theater for 17 years that I co-founded with my husband, the Bay Street Theater, and here in Sag Harbor, and we had a performance due to open on September 12th, the day after 9/11, and it was a silly comedy. It was a wonderful, brand new comedy starring Alec Baldwin. My husband had directed it, and we wondered, you know, if we should go on, and if, you know, was it somehow disrespectful to do this silly comedy in the wake of this extraordinary tragedy. And in fact, the run sold out. It remains to this day one of the most sold out productions the theater ever did. And audiences didn't want to leave. They lingered in the lobby afterwards and communed and hugged, and
they wanted to
laugh and to be a community and to gather. And that was a real lesson for me in the value and the power of the arts.
Thank you both so much. It's been such a treat for us to talk with you. We absolutely love the show. We wish you a continued success and good health.
Thank you
so much, Rich.
It's been the same to you. Lovely talking to you, Rich, and I hope we do again.